Hallelujah. You put your hands together and celebrate the Lord. Oh, give it to the Lord, give it to the Lord, give it to the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord, bless the name of the Lord, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Do not sit down yet. Turn your Bibles with me to Psalms 136. And we're going to read New Living Translation, Psalms 136. We are reading through all. Everybody say all. Right. This is what I'm going to do. I read. Your response should be, His faithful love endures forever. Is that okay? So whatever I read, you respond. You must respond and say, His faithful love endures forever. Can you say that with me, my friends? Say it again. His faithful love endures forever. Say it one more time. All right, here we go. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Give thanks to Him who alone does mighty miracles. Give thanks to Him who made the heavens so skillfully. Give thanks to Him who placed the earth among the waters. Give thanks to Him who makes the heavenly lights, the sun to rule the day, the moon and stars to rule the night. Give thanks to Him who killed the firstborn of Egypt. He brought Israel out of Egypt. He acted with a strong hand and powerful arm. Give thanks to Him who parted the Red Sea. He led Israel safely through. But He held Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. Give thanks to Him who led His people through the wilderness. Give thanks to Him who struck down mighty kings. He killed powerful kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. God gave the land of these kings as an inheritance, a special possession to His servant Israel. He remembered us in our weakness. He saved us from our enemies. He gives food to every living thing. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Your response, His faithful love endures forever. Clap your hands and celebrate the faithfulness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands and let's bless the name of the Lord today. We exalt you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Thank God for His faithful love. Thank Him for His loving kindness. Thank Him for His tender mercies. Give Him glory today. Den namen fanda Jehovah se woni a your hands and worship Him this morning. Tell Him, Jehovah Nasi, Jehovah Nasi, Wonia, Wonia, How can we render thanks enough to you for all that you've done in our lives and for how far you have brought us through the year 2024, which draws to its close in just a couple of days from now? We are standing here today, oh God, because you kept us. You were our shield. You are the one who encompassed round about us, delivering us from evil, preserving our souls, saving us from the plans and the intentions of the wicked one. We say today that if it had not been for you on our side, God, where would we be? Then we would have been consumed by the evil one. But thank you, Father, for your salvation, your preservation, your protection, your provision, Amen. Your exceedingly great love that you have demonstrated unto us.
Yes, Lord.
And today, the last Sunday of the year 2024, I and the people that you have given to me, those physically present here and those who have joined us online, we join our voices together and say, glory be to you, Lord, for you have dealt well with us. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. May all the glory and the honor and the praise be ascribed unto you. And this morning, we prepare our hearts to hear your word once again. Speak, O God. Show us your ways that we may walk with you. In Jesus' mighty name, and let the people of God say, amen. Amen. Say a louder amen.
Amen.
and clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord over and over and over again. Hallelujah. God is good
all the time.
And all the time
God is good.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, for what He has done in my life.
Hallelujah.
I share this testimony today to encourage, to uplift, and to strengthen someone who may be in need of hope.
Pay attention here, my friends.
One day, I received a link regarding a job opportunity abroad.
Abroad?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I clicked on it, reviewed the details, and submitted my application. After a few weeks, I received a message from the company inviting me for an interview on a specific date and time.
All right.
I couldn't help but say, Jesus is Lord. This was particularly significant for me because it was my first ever interview since I finished high school.
Hey.
And I've been working for myself independently.
All
so
right.
This was his first official interview.
So he was an independent presidential candidate.
Candidate, yes.
Right.
I immediately called our head pastor to inform him.
Who is that? Me?
Yes, Pastor Johnny.
Okay. Right.
And he prayed with me and encouraged me. From that moment, I began preparing diligently for the interview.
Mm.
As the day approached, I saw Pastor again at the church and he assured me. This is what he said. Abu, it is well. I responded with an amen in faith. The day of the interview arrived and I got there a few minutes before 7 a.m. To my surprise, there were between 800 to 1,000 young people already gathered for the interview.
Between 800
and 1,000 young people already gathered for the interview.
Already gathered. This was before 7 a.m.
Before 7 a.m. Somebody say it's not easy.
It's not easy.
But it is well.
It is well.
But I kept my focus and encouraged myself in the Lord. We waited outside for some time until the team arrived to begin the process. The company had sent representatives from abroad to conduct the interview. And it turned out to be very, very tough one.
Mm.
During the interview, I witnessed people offering large sums of amount to agent in hope of being selected.
HSA, who apply for a juma and a woman bribe so I come home?
Yeah,
corruption. In 2025, may there be zero tolerance for corruption.
Amen.
Yes, please.
Then he said, I, however, had no money to give. And the amounts were very huge. My only hope was in God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
And I trusted Him completely. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Afterward, I overheard several individuals saying this was their 8th and 9th times attending this particular interview. Which made me feel disheartened for a moment. But I refused to lose faith. Tell your neighbor, refuse to lose faith.
Refuse to lose faith.
He says, I returned home trusting God that He will see me through. A few days later, I received a message from the company.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the 800 applicants, only 37 were selected.
Wow.
And ladies and gentlemen, I was one of them.
Hallelujah.
You didn't put your hands together for
Glory.
Jesus. Out of 800, it says 37 was selected and he was one of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says that this was my first ever interview in my life. And despite not having connections or the money to pay for assistance, I trusted God.
Trusted God.
He came through for me.
Amen.
The company took care of my visa, travel expenses, and accommodation. He says, ladies and gentlemen, today, by the grace of God, I am no longer in Ghana. Are you giving the Lord a shout? I am no longer in Ghana. I've boarded a plane. Something I have never imagined before.
Wow.
This is truly the work of the Lord. I give all glory to God for his blessings and provision. I also want to take this opportunity to express my heartfelt thanks to our head pastor, Pastor Johnny, and all the pastors in the Shepherd's Fold Restoration family. He says, God bless us all. Greetings from abroad. Greetings from abroad.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
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 It's wonderful. Let's have another one.
Yes, another one.
Let's take that one too.
This is from the family of Cedro and Alpha. The Alpha and the Cedro family is thanking the Lord for his mercies, thanking the Lord for his grace and preservation throughout the year 2024. They say that to the glory of God, they have established two shops in the year 2024.
Two shops.
Two shops.
Beautiful.
Two shops.
We bless
and
the Lord.
They are so much grateful to God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. And then the last testimony from our own Pastor Elvis Miracle Kofi Aglowi. Let's hear Pastor Elvis's testimony.
God is good.
Oh, Reverend Joe.
I didn't hear you. God is good.
You are my special.
Hallelujah.
Please give him space. All right. Thank you.
God has been gracious to me and my family.
Is that so?
Yes, very
gracious.
Tell us
about it.
And we want to say thank you to him. First of all, I'll start off with my wife's testimony.
Okay.
After we got married, she decided to further her education to do a top up. And she started by God's grace. And when along the line, when she was about to finish, they didn't find her exam scores. After she had written the exam,
she had finished writing the
writing
exam.
Writing everything.
They couldn't find her exam results.
Yes.
Oh, now how on one?
It was mysterious. We did a follow up. They were like, "Oh, it's in the system. It's going to be sorted." And then,
do you understand the problem that is being described? You have written an exam.
Yes.
You wrote the exam. The record shows that you were in the exam room. This was your index number. I've ever tried exam name here. What results? They cannot find the results. Go on.
And so we did a follow-up. Still, it wasn't resolved. So
they couldn't find the results.
Yes.
And the situation was not resolved.
Yes. So she couldn't finish with the group that she was in school with.
Wow.
And so she had to rewrite those papers again the following year. And by God's grace, provision was made. She was able to write. Amazingly, when she had finished writing all these papers,
yeah,
then suddenly all the results that they didn't find appeared. It was so. I mean, we were just thankful to God that everything. And then she was finally. She was able to finish and graduate. And then.
You know, folks, strange things happen in this life. Very strange things. You know, but you've heard me say many times that God is sovereign and God is in control. And there are things that we don't understand. But according to the counsel of his own will, he allows certain things to happen. At the end of the day, the important thing is that she completed the program, passed all her exams, and has graduated finally.
Yes,
is that not so?
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus and tell us your own.
Then, mine is a bit lengthy, but I'll try to. So, When I completed SHS,
what's the year, baby?
See me in chambers, I'll tell you. So when I did, that was in 2009,
okay,
when I finished, and then we were all trying to go to school. My grades were not bad, they were good, but I felt the Lord leading me not to go to school at the time.
Okay.
But I was being stubborn, so I was putting in applications and it wasn't coming in. And the people that had done well,
better than
they were going.
Mm.
I still persisted, but God said no. Instead, because I had a prophecy when I was young that I'm called into the ministry, and I had so, but I was trying to run away. I mean, to go and pursue other things, but I felt strongly.
From today, we are adding Jonah to your name. Elvis, Jonah, Miracle, Kofi. Ah, that's Tepete. All right.
So, after many attempts, I just came to agreement that, okay, I think God is leading me to go to the Bible school and to try and be trained for what he has called me for. First. First. It's like, pursue this one first. So, I mean, I allowed myself. I went for 4 years, trained, and then right after a few years, I felt the conviction again that it's time to now go to school and to now go to the university, which I didn't go before.
So like a tertiary institution. Yes. All right. Yeah. Because you went to a Bible school for 4 years.
Yes.
And then afterwards, what? Mommy says you should look at her.
So, by the grace of God, I started 4 years ago. And we've been through it. I started as an evening regular student because I had to combine work, and then I didn't want to also miss church.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to choose weekend school, then it means that I'll not be in church. But I wanted to be in church. So I started as evening. Then along the line, I think third year, they came up with a decision that we're supposed to now, we are all going to be moved to the weekend school, whether we like it or not. Some of us opposed, but still, they went ahead. So we had no choice. I had to manage. Sometimes I come to church, do whatever I'm supposed to do, and quickly rush. It wasn't easy, but sometimes we had exams, and I go in, they are 30 minutes ahead. Normally, they'll not allow me in, but they knew I was a pastor, so they'll allow me in, but the extra 30 will not be given to you. It's like you just finish when everybody finishes. By the grace of God, we graduated just last Friday.
This Friday that went back.
Yes.
Wow.
And the thing that I left, God just gave them to me.
Tell me.
First of all, I was part of those who had first class.
First class?
Yes.
First class?
Yes.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Then also, I was the best in my department.
You are the best in your department. Then
also, I was the overall best male student.
Hey! Overall best. Please. You have the
The awards are
the
here.
The awards. Oh, okay. So they gave you a plaque. Wow. Data Link Institute of Business and Technology Excellence Award presented to Elvis Kofi Agbloy, Best Male Student Undergraduate 2023-2024. Hallelujah. And then there is another one from the same institution, Excellence Award presented to Elvis Kofi Agbloy, Best Student Bachelor of Science, Business Administration, Human Resource Management, Undergraduate. Hallelujah. So you are mommy's colleague, because that's what she also did. You know, I think you should clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus. I know for a fact that it was not easy for him. He himself talked about the challenges because he was somebody who was committed to doing the ministry and serving God. Can you imagine you're writing an exam? You're getting late. You're not going to get any extra time. And the only reason why you're late is because you have to do the work of the ministry. Sometimes you look like a fool. People will say all kinds of things. Sometimes they'll ridicule you, mock you. It's like, are you the only one who knows God? What are you doing with all this church business? And you hear a lot of painful, hurtful things. Sometimes they'll tell you that this man that you've gone to follow, it will not be well with you. Find somewhere better to go. But God is faithful. I said God is faithful. And God has seen him through. Allow him to express his gratitude to the Lord. Because this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our sight. Hallelujah. And I want to say to all of you, always remember what the scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord is not... Look at this one too. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus for your servant. And thank you, Father, for taking care of him. Thank you, Father, that you did not put him to shame. Thank you that you demonstrated to all and sundry that there's a difference between those who serve the Lord and those who do not serve the Lord. The things that he thought he was sacrificing, you brought back into his life. Thank you for your divine elevation. Thank you for divine promotion. Thank you that it's a testament to the greater things that await him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Proud of you. Proud of you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There are other testimonies, but time will not permit us to share them today. Thankfully, we have a lot more time during the for our watch night service, so we will catch up on the testimonies there. Our time is fast spent, but I want to share the word of God with us before we bring this service to a close. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to Psalms 115 B flat. Psalms 115 verse 1. Psalms 115, verse 1. It says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. But to your name goes all the glory. Hallelujah. Psalms 30, reading from verse 1. I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. Oh Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, oh Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. When I was prosperous, I said, nothing can stop me now. Your favor, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain. Then you turned away from me and I was shattered. I cried out to you, O Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, what will you gain if I die, if I sink into the grave? Can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, Lord. And have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. Verse 11. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy,
that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. Oh Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let us pray again. So Father, speak to us. Let us hear words of wisdom, words of hope, words of comfort, words of direction, words that will deepen our relationship with you, that will teach us to trust you more and to acknowledge you in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen. And I'm sharing with you a sermon that I've titled, All the Glory Must Be to the Lord. All the glory must be to the Lord. Hallelujah. All the glory must be to the Lord. Now, glory. The word glory, as we see it here, means adoring praise and worshipful thanksgiving. Adoring praise and worshipful thanksgiving. You can praise God, but it is not out of a certain heart. You can praise God and just go through the motions without adoring him. But when we talk about glory and giving glory to God, we are talking about offering to him adoring praise and then also worshipful thanksgiving. You can do something for somebody and the person will say, thank you. Thanks. Thanks. But you, the one doing the person that favor, you can tell from the way the thanksgiving is expressed that it is not coming from the person's heart. Maybe it's from his liver or lungs or bowels. You see? You can always tell. And you can always tell when people are genuinely grateful for what has been done for them. Glory in this sense refers to worshipful thanksgiving. And we are saying that all the glory must be to the Lord. Now, the author of Psalm 115, it is believed by many to be King David, started off with a profound statement. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory. What does this mean? What is he saying? In essence, he's saying all the glory must be to the Lord. Then we also read Psalms 30. And this is another of the Psalms that was written by David. And what he's doing in this psalm is recounting part of the story of his life. So he testifies about different things in this psalm. He talks about how he was rescued, how he triumphed over his enemies, how he was helped, how his health was restored, how he was saved from death, how he was favored, how things turned round for the better. Because he said, you turned my mourning into dancing. And he also talks about how the story of his life changed. But you will notice something, ladies and gentlemen, that in each instance, in each blessing that he talked about, he mentions the one who is responsible for what had happened. So if you go back to Psalms 30, he says, I will exalt you, verse 1, Lord, for you rescued me. Who rescued him? The Lord. Then he said, you refused to let my enemies triumph over me. Who did it? You restored my health. Who did it? You brought me up from the grave. Who did it? You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Who did it? Your favor, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain. Who did it? Then he says, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. Who is responsible? So in essence, he also is saying that all the glory must be to the Lord. There's a song we sing. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Then it leads me to another song that says, all the glory must be the Lord, for he is worthy of our praise. Let one on earth should give glory to himself, for all the glory must be, all the glory. Glory, not some, not part, not just a section, not just a portion, but all, without exception, all the glory must be to the Lord. What does it mean? It means that give God the credit for every blessing and for every good thing you've experienced. Give him the credit for it. Back to F. Don't ever take credit for any blessing of your life, for anything that is working in your life, for any good thing that you can see in your life. Never take credit for yourself. Neither should you give credit to anybody. Give God the credit for every blessing and for every good thing you've experienced. That's what it means about when we say that all the glory must be to the Lord. It also means that make a boast of how the Lord is responsible for your blessings and for every good thing you can find in your life. Boast about the Lord. Don't boast about yourself, your wisdom, your intelligence. It's very clear from Pastor Elvis's testimony that he knows that it is the Lord who did it for him. And the tears that he shed on the stage, the tears of somebody whose heart is filled with gratitude to the Lord, adoring praise and worshipful thanksgiving. He knows that it is not by his own strength and might It is not because he is exceptionally intelligent or smart. He knows that it is the Lord. And he chooses to make his boast, not in himself, but in the Lord. Declaring that God is responsible for these blessings and for every good thing that I can find in my life. All the glory must be to the Lord. It also means that direct all your gratitude, thanksgiving, honor, and praise to God as the one who is responsible for every accomplishment, every achievement, and every victory of your life. When we say all the glory must be to the Lord, we are saying that direct all your gratitude, thanksgiving, honor, and praise to God, to the Lord, as the one who is responsible for every accomplishment, every achievement, and every victory of your life. Direct all the praise, all the glory, all the honor to the Lord. Hallelujah. A few days after Ghana went to the polls and a new president was elected and new members of parliament were also elected, I listened to a post-election discussion on one of the radio stations. They had a lot of interesting things to say. But one of the panelists at a point became angry. And he started reprimanding the president-elect and the victorious members of parliament. He was facing them. Why was he facing them? He was facing them for attributing their victory to the Lord. Yes. He was very bold. He said, "Munjai sadienu, munjai sadienu." And he said, "Why are you thanking God? Do you mean to say that God likes you more than the others who didn't win?" And he told them that God is not partial. If you won, it's because you worked hard. It is because we voted for you. It is because the people chose you. With this thing about he said, "Stop all of that." I was shocked. And I could tell that the other panelists on the show were also surprised at his outburst. At the point, one person asked him that, "What church do you go to? I want to come to your church. Because the way your mind seems to work, very interesting to all of us." You see, this is obviously somebody who hasn't seen certain things in life before. And my prayer for him is that you meet his meter and see something that will make you see that really in this life, if anything is working for you, recognize that it is the Lord who has made it happen. And all the glory must be the Lord. Why? I have just 5 minutes. Why must all the glory be to the Lord? Why must we give all the glory to the Lord? Number one, because the glory belongs to the Lord. Enidia. We give glory to the Lord and we say all the glory must go to the Lord because the glory belongs to him. Revelation chapter 7 verse 11 to 12. Let's do this very fast and end the service. Revelation 7, 11 to 12. This is a picture of worship in heaven. And the Bible says, and all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshipped God. This is the song that they sang. Amen, amen. Blessings and glory. Wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Those were the words that they sang. They mentioned many different virtues or attributes, and one of them they mentioned is glory. And then they say emphatically, it belongs to the Lord. And if something belongs to somebody, he has every right to take hold of it. So the first reason why all the glory must be to the Lord is because the glory belongs to him. Number two, all the glory must be to the Lord because he deserves it. He deserves the glory. That's why it must be given to him. He deserves it. Psalms 96 verse 8. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his courts. But the first part says, give to the Lord the glory he deserves. All the glory must go to him because he deserves the glory. Number three, all the glory must be to the Lord. We must give all the glory to God because he is the source of every blessing and everything good. Make no mistake about it. God is the source of every blessing and everything good. So who are dear bia ye sira? And now who are dear bia ye at the papa? So had the crown if we name ho. James chapter 1 verse 16 to 17. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from who? God the Father. Can you identify anything in your life that is good? That is perfect? That is a blessing? Do you have anything like that in your life? Where is it from? It's from the Lord. The scripture is clear about it. If you can identify something in your life and say that that dear way, e ya de papa, e ya de sombo, e ya de efimbi enihu, then know that that thing is coming from the Lord, and that is why you must give him glory for that thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 from the New King James Version. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Then I will wah, young farmer. Show me. Point it out to me. Who makes you different from another person? What is it that you have that you have not received? And it says, now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast? As if you had not received it. Who makes you to differ from another? That is what the president-elect and the parliamentarians who won the elections, at least those who are thinking correctly, that is the reason why they will give the glory to the Lord. Because they know. This president we elected, he knows so. What he's been through before he's come into power again. He knows that it is the Lord. And I heard him in one interview. He just kept talking about the fact that it is God who picked him up as a young man. Took him through different experiences. He became member of parliament. He played a role in different committees on parliament. He was chosen to be vice president. He ended up becoming president. And during that interview, he kept attributing everything to God. And for me, it is a remarkable thing. You may not like him, but that's not the issue. And he knows. He knows that this victory is from the Lord. He knows it. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. New Living Translation. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. Who gives you power to be successful? If you write an exam and you pass, who gave you the power to be successful? If you are running a business and the business is profitable, who gave you the power to be successful? No, it's you yourself. It's not you yourself again. You are sure? You are convinced that it is the Lord. And indeed, it is the Lord. Look, exams, eh? You may be the most clever student in the class. You can sit behind a paper and everything will just go blank. As you are looking at the question, you know that you know that you know. The question is, Miss Olvey, I have seen this question, I have solved it, but for some strange reason, I have just gone blank. Are you not surprised at certain people who failed certain exams and you passed? Yeah. Has it happened to you before? Yeah. And you know that this guy is sharper than I am. Wow, Benny Chanum. Into Oronko Bishela. Oronko Yami. It should have been me. It shouldn't have been him. He is the one, Jehovah God. He is the one who gives you the power to be successful. That is why all the glory must be to him. Number four, because he's sovereign and has ultimate control over all aspects of our lives, including our victories and our successes. The reason why all the glory must go to the Lord is because he is sovereign and has ultimate control over all aspects of our lives, including our victories and our success. He's sovereign. Last week I explained to you that when we say that God is sovereign, it means that he does what he wants, how he wants, when he wants, with whomever he wants, and he asks permission from no one. That's what it means by God is sovereign. And the earlier you get to that place in your life that you embrace the sovereignty of God, the easier it will be for you in this life. Sometimes it looks like the devil is in control. But I told you the other time that the control of the devil is limited by the sovereignty of God. Which means that he may seem to have control, but the control that he has is to the extent to which God has allowed him. And sometimes God allows him. But you see, the thing with the devil is that he's smart. But he's not all-knowing. That's why the Bible says that if they had known what crucifying Jesus was going to accomplish, they would never have crucified the King of Glory. No, he didn't know that crucifying this guy was going to lead to a humiliating defeat for all the hordes of darkness. And I tell you, sometimes it looks as if God has lost control and he doesn't know what he's doing. Sometimes it looks as if evil is triumphing over good. Sometimes it looks like it pays more to be an akpa person than to be a correct person. How many have felt that way before? Sometimes you feel that way. You know, be so. Hey. Like the papa people, no, they are the ones who seem to be making it all the time. Faster. But I want to tell you something. That even in the midst of all the uncertainties and the questions of this life, God is very much in control. And the reason why we give him the glory, one of the reasons why we give him the glory is because he is sovereign and he has ultimate success, ultimate control over all aspects of our life, including our victories and successes. Proverbs 21:31. Let's finish. Proverbs 21:31. What does it say? The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but at the end, which one belongs to the Lord? You have a song you sing. Oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to God. Yeah, that's the truth. So you see, the horse, you can get it ready. It's like exam. You can learn. You know that there are people who are given, even when they are given a poor for exam, they still fail. What's that? I was in. Oh, yeah. That thing alone should tell you something. That there is something to victory than even just preparation. I tell you. Like elections, you may do everything you want to do, thinking that these elections are going to win. And then the people will use their kokromoti power. One of the things they say is fear delegates. Power belongs to us. That's what they say. They said that power belongs to the people. Me, power belongs to the Lord. Because he's sovereign. And he still has a way of controlling and directing the hearts of people in a certain direction. Friend, the kingdoms of this world, kingdoms that have risen up, and they looked invincible, that nobody could ever bring those kingdoms down. They came down. You think it happened coincidentally or it just happened? And he controls everything that happens. And he gives us space. He gives us a rope. I know that this whole idea of the sovereignty of God is mysterious and is difficult to understand. But I want you to understand that he's sovereign, and ultimately our successes, our victories in this life is the one who permits it to happen. Psalm 75 verse 6 to 7, Amplified Version. It says, "For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south comes promotion and lifting up. But God is the judge." What does it say there? He puts down one and lifts up another. Who does that? Yeah. And he doesn't need your permission. That's why God doesn't need the permission of any family member of yours to take you to the heights that he has purposed to take you to in the year 2025. And I prophesy into somebody's life, in the coming year, you will shock a lot of people. You will do what? I said you will do what? Yeah. They should wait and see. And the reason why it's going to happen is that God has decided that He is going to lift you up, set you on high, bless you mightily, open major doors unto you. I mean, the first testimony we heard from our brother Abu, it's a remarkable one. He's never gone for any interview before. Now, the very first interview you are going for, there are more than 800 people present. An interviewer, you know, sometimes you need somebody to guide you. And if you've had experience at it before, it helps. Out of 800, only 37 people were selected, and he was one of them. When he went to the airport, and the job is not in Ghana. It's not police recruitment. That's not what I'm talking about. As we speak now, he's in the United Arab Emirates. If I say Dubai, that's one you'll understand. That's where he is. At the airport, after he checked in and everything, we were chatting. And you could see that he can't believe. Yeah. That's when you begin to say, yeah. There are some things when they happen in your life, it's like somebody pinch me and wake me up. It is not possible that this is happening, but it is happening. And that will be the story of somebody listening to me today. Hallelujah. Yeah. Understand that it is God who lifts people up, and He's sovereign, and He determines certain things concerning His people. And what He has said concerning you, He will bring it to pass. Oh, stop looking at your limitations, lah. Enough of that. Stop looking at your weaknesses. Stop looking at how many times you have failed. Stop looking at how many times people have written you off. Stop looking at that. Remember what I said. God does not need anybody's permission to do what He says He's going to do in your life. And I say they should wait and see what God will do with you, through you, by you, and in your life. Clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus. Let me end with this one. One of the reasons why all the glory must be to the Lord is to prove that we are not deluded. Just there's nothing wrong with us. To prove that we are not deluded, but that we know very clearly who is responsible for every blessing and anything good in our lives. That's why all the glory must be to God. To prove that we are not deluded. One of the signs that your mind is not working well is when you think that your blessings and your breakthrough and your victories are because of how hard you work, or how smart you are, or because of your business acumen. It's not like that too. It's not like that too. It's not like that. Luke chapter 17 verse 11. Now end with that. There are two more, but I'll end with this one. Now it happened. Luke 17 verse 11 to 19. New King James Version. Now it happened that as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." 10 10 guys with a complex problem. They were lepers, incurable disease. They must have been living a difficult life. And wherever they were, they kept hearing about this amazing teacher, a man of God who had come into town, was healing all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. One day Jesus passes through their town. They hear a lot of commotion. They ask what is happening. They said that this Jesus is passing through. They stood afar off and shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." He didn't lay hands on them. He didn't bind the spirit of leprosy. He didn't scream, "Pieko, Pieko, Pieko, take it one, take it two, take it three, out, out, out." He didn't do any of that. He just told them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And on the way, they were cleansed. Then something very mind-blowing happens. How many were they? Only one came back. And the Bible says he came back to give glory to God, threw himself at Jesus' feet and worshipped him and thanked him profusely. Worshipful thanksgiving. That's what it means to give glory to God. And then Jesus asked, now I know where he. Why is it only one who has come? I want to submit that one of the reasons that the nine didn't come and only one returned was that the nine, they were deluded. After all, Jesus didn't pray for them. Did he pray for them? No. Did he lay hands on them? No. He just said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." I believe it was easy for them to think that, You see, sometimes it's difficult to draw the correlation between your blessing and what somebody did for you. And it's a certain kind of delusion that will make you think that things just happen, because things don't just happen. And the one guy who returned, he knew that our state was like this. But after we met this man, everything has changed dramatically. He didn't pray for us. He didn't bind any spirit. He didn't lay hands on us. He didn't anoint us with oil. He didn't scream at any demon. He said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." That's not how normally people are delivered. But the guy knew that this thing that has occurred, it is the Lord. And so all the glory must be to him. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to us, taking stock of our lives for the year 2024, whatever you've been through, whatever has come your way, all the glory must be to the Lord. And today, as you sit or you've sat through this Thanksgiving service, let it be clear in your mind that the glory must go to no one else but to the Lord. And now, to those of you who think that nothing great has happened to me this year, expectations, they were not met, prayers, they were not answered, the breakthroughs I sought, I never saw them, it has been one struggle followed by another. So as I'm talking about all the glory must be to the Lord, it's difficult for you to relate with it. Let me tell you something. Miracles are not just to do with the good things that happen to you, but they also have very much to do with the bad things that never happened to you. Did you get that? When we talk about miracles, It's easy for the mind to focus on certain things, like good things, good experiences that you had. I married, I had a child, I got a job, I traveled, I passed my exams, and all of that. That's just one aspect of the miracles of God. There's the other aspect of the miracles of God where it is like something bad could have happened to you, but he prevented it. And it is very easy to dwell on the former and totally ignore the latter. And sit back and say, because I didn't get the money for the business, because my marriage ended up on the rocks, because I didn't pass my exam, because my business collapsed, because I didn't see all the money that I wanted to see, this year God has not done anything for me. He saved you. Do you know the number of times when you nearly died? Motorway. Has it occurred to you? You travel across this motorway virtually every day of the week, like my wife does. And for all these years, you've been doing this motorway thing since 2012. Yeah. So for 12 years, traveling across this death trap, there have been close shaves. Sometimes some truck passing by, and you can see that the way the person is going, if I don't get off the motorway, what about that? What about how God has kept your children? Nothing bad has happened to them in school. Do you know that children school? Do you know the sort of evil things that children can pick up? That your child is normal. You've not had any major sickness. Yes, you didn't have a certain kind of job. And it was a struggle to pay the bills. But every day there was something to eat. Are you not surprised at how you have survived and how you have made it, even though a lot of things didn't seem to have worked out for you? Are you not surprised? And can't you see that it didn't just happen, that God was in it, keeping you, preserving you, sustaining you, watching over you? Yes, you didn't see some of the things that you wanted to see, but do not ignore this aspect of the blessings of God and this aspect of the miraculous, that it is also very real. You were never sick, but you know the amount of money somebody else spent in the hospital. It was one thing after the other. Ladies and gentlemen, all the glory must be to the Lord. And as the year draws to its close in a couple of days, remember to give God glory for everything to do with your life. Because he says, in everything we should give him thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Let's give him all the glory. Great things he has done, and greater things he will do. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All the glory must be to the Lord. Put your hands together, rise to your feet, and let us close. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to pray for you. And my concern at this time is for anybody who hasn't yet received Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's a very important step that you must take for your life, to open your heart to Jesus and to make him your Lord and Savior. And this morning, this afternoon, I want to pray for you. Maybe you are even watching us. I mean, how can the year end without you bowing your knees to Jesus? You've waited too long. But thank God that today, when you hear his voice, you can submit to him and bow your knees to him. I want to pray with you. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I want you to lift up your hand wherever you are, and I'm going to pray for you. Give him the glory for your life. Give him the glory for keeping you. Give him the glory for preserving you. God bless you. You may be watching me. You may be online right now watching me. But Jesus is interested in you in particular. He can see you right where you are. There are 8 billion people on the earth, but he knows exactly who you are and where you are in every situation of your life. And he's just asking that you entrust your life to him and surrender your heart to Jesus. I can pray with you today. And I want you all to join in this prayer. Say with me, dear Lord Jesus, this afternoon, I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I surrender my life to Jesus and I receive him as my Lord and Savior. For the rest of my life, I will serve him. I will follow him. I will live for him. Oh God, please write my name in the book of life. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say amen. And put your hands together for the Lord.